My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Providing trusted plumbing HVAC service for 50 years, Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line, as always, is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're talking a little Pirate baseball, obviously. Why do we say Pirates baseball? If we're talking about the Pirates, we're clearly talking about baseball. Right? It's redundant. And an old editor back in the day who used to hate many of the crutches, redundancy that we use in sports writing. You know, for instance, one of his biggest pet peeves was when we would write the big key to the game. Well, if you're saying it's a key to the game, you don't need to use the word big. You're wasting a word. Have you ever had an editor or somebody tell you that before?
Lanny was always big on the term player to be named later, because obviously if he's going to be named, it's going to be at a later date.
Yes.
Named implies.
Right. So is this player to be named?
Right.
But there's a number of those kinds of things. And one of them, like I said, but why do we say, oh, we're talking Pirates baseball? Well, we're talking about the Pirates. So obviously, by inference, we're talking baseball. And one of the things that young people don't understand is that a lot of times, in sports writing especially, less is more. You know? I have one of the best advices I ever got from one of my editors way back when I first started, back at the NBA. Jan Hubbard was his name. One of the best writers I've ever come across. One of the best editors that I've ever worked with. He could be a pain in the rear end, you know what I mean? But you realized how much better your copy was when he was, you know, done giving you, hey, this is what we're doing. But anyway, he would tell you, say you write a story that's 1,300 words. Okay? Cut it to 1,100, it's better. Get it to 900, and it's going to be much better. And you say, well, how do you cut out 400 words? You're going to lose details. You're going to lose this. You really aren't. That's the point. Anyway, that's a little tangent I went on. But reality is, if you cut out a lot of unnecessary words, people that read your copy, they will be a lot less tired. It's tiring when you read 1,300 words, but 900 words, that's all packed in there. If you're able to keep it all, you know, packed, it reads a lot better. Anyway, 412-928-9370, taking your phone calls about the Pirates. What do we got here?
Got Rob from West Mifflin.
Hi, Rob.
Good morning, folks. How y'all doing? This is easy, man. It counts on chance. Like you said, he spent $30 million, right? But he didn't spend $30 million the right way. You can't go out and get eight players for $30 million. You could have got Hoskins for your first baseman. I think Bellinger was out there, too. Give them $15 million apiece. You got your first baseman, your corner outfit out there. I mean, I'm not going to always keep bringing up, Reese Hoskins. I have all this year because he was out there. We didn't go get him because he was coming off an injury, but that's what it starts with Charrington, and then it goes down to Shelton. He's been managing like this since we had him. And now it's just more noticeable now because the pressure's on the win.
Right.
He's been managing like this, and then I think Harry said something about the pitching. I give Charrington credit for the pitching. I mean, Jared Jones? Because I'm not giving him credit for no prospects because they haven't done anything up on a major league level yet. So, we got Gonzalez who came out there with a bat. And Cruz, but other than that, like you said, Paul, we've been getting these top five picks for years. Where are they at? Where are the bats at?
Right.
Nobody's getting developed. Nobody's coming up. I'm not giving Charrington no credit for nothing. I'm sorry, for nothing, man. And I think both of them need to go today. Like, seriously, they both need to be gone because it's time to win. Like you said, once they was winning, you should have kept that momentum going. I would have went out there and got Luis Roberts, put him in my center field. Now, you know what, you maybe don't go through the 10-game winning streak, but guess what? People are still coming to see schemes. They're coming to see everybody. Maybe, this team can on the cusp of next year. I can't say they're on the cusp of nothing because they haven't done anything.
Right. That's the point. And I think, when you look at what they have for next year, I mean, my thing is, if I said to you, make a case that they've made progress this year, what would be the case that you could make?
Only case that I can make is that they were filling the seats up when Paul Skeen came up.
Exactly.
That's it. Other than that, if they finish the same record as last year, you underachieved. You underachieved because there's no way you can be at the same record as last year with Paul Skeen's on your roster. I'm sorry. And I'm just not going to blame it all on Paul Skeen, but I just know that when him and Nicky G came up, things changed. I mean, everybody's seen that. Things changed. And, that can happen in the clubhouse. You can rally around some guys that come up, some new energy that comes up. But I just think they both need to go. And I understand that whoever comes in, they're going to be handcuffed with the spending, but you got to spend it the right way.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about it. I appreciate the call. There's no question about it. You got to spend it the right way, but again, you got to draft correctly. You got to develop correctly. You got to do everything right if you're the Pirates. I get it. The margin for error is not quite the same as some of the other organizations. But I look at what they've done over 5 years. And I just don't understand where and how we could say, this is year five, that they are actually definitively better and making progress. I mean, honestly, if you take away Paul Skeens, who was a no-brainer pick at the top of the draft, I know, there was some talk that they might, there was two or three other guys that were really good. I don't know. I watched LSU play in the College World Series the year before. And I had no clue. There was no question who I was taking if I were going to be the Pirates. No question. So you have a no-brainer type guy that you picked 1-1. Oh, but by the way, you have a 1-1 guy, by the way, who you haven't been able to figure out what he's doing, and then Henry Davis. You don't even know what position you want him to play anymore. You kind of want him to be a catcher, but who knows? I'm just telling you, it's got to be if you're going to make a case for me that they're better, you know, I wrote an article in the Post-Gazette last week about it. I said, let's use that Ronald Reagan discussion. You know, in 1980, when Ronald Reagan ran against Jimmy Carter, okay? Inflation was really high. There was a hostage situation. I mean, Jimmy Carter was basically a disaster as a president. Great human being. One of the greatest human beings we've ever had on this planet. But he was a disaster as a president. Ronald Reagan kept it really simple. The theme of his 1980 campaign was, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And most people's answer was a resounding no, which is why he won like 46 out of 50 states, literally. So I asked that question last week in honor of it being an election year. Are the Pirates better off now than they were 5 years ago when Charrington arrived? I'm not sure you can definitively say yes. And before you say, well, yeah, remember this. Who are the four best players on this team? Nick, who are the four best players on the Pirates?
O'Neill Cruz, okay. Paul Skeens,
yes.
Brian Reynolds,
yes.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Oh, he hits well. He's a good fielder.
I was thinking Mitch Keller.
I haven't thought that because he struggled lately, but yeah, I guess if I'm saying all season, yeah.
Okay. So you have Mitch Keller, O'Neill Cruz, Reynolds, and Skeens. Okay? What do three of those four guys have in common?
They're getting paid.
They were already here when Ben Charrington arrived.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, do we got a phone here? Do we got someone on the phone line?
We got Rich from Forest Hills.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Paul. I agree with much of what you say. I'll debate you about Henry Davis. But the point of my call is that if you look at where they are now and where all the Pittsburgh sports fan wants them to be next year, the only avenue they haven't pursued that they have to pursue is open up the wallet. They got to go out and spend $50 million. Their general manager has no track record on trades. So when I hear this, we'll trade from pitching surplus, it's nails on a chalkboard for me. He never wins a trade. Most trades he loses. Plus, even if you ascribe to that, look at Atlanta. They lost five pitchers this year. The Dodgers are down five. I mean, you can never have enough pitching. I would sooner let these guys rot on the vine and never make it to the majors than trade them away to another team and assume I'm going to win a trade or I'm going to get fair value in a trade. That's just my take on it.
Well,
and then if you got time, I'll debate you on Henry Davis.
What are you debating? What is the debate?
Well, the debate is, if you look at that draft year, in the top 14 picks, nobody has a WAR of greater than 3, I think. There was no consensus 1, okay? Don't forget.
I didn't say that. I didn't say there was a consensus 1. I was talking about Henry Davis. I was talking about Paul Skeens. What I said about Henry Davis... What I said about Henry Davis is they picked him 1-1. We're 4 years later, and we still have no idea what he is.
My point is that the 1-1 designation doesn't mean anything because there were 14 guys that could have been 1-1 that year. By picking Davis, that enabled them to get Bubba Chandler. So in my way of looking at things, you could say Bubba Chandler was the 1-1 out of that draft. Everybody.
Well, and what has Bubba Chandler accomplished?
No, I'm not saying that he's accomplished anything at the major league level, but just like I said, you look back at that draft, nobody from that draft has accomplished anything. And let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who's the Pirates' roving catching instructor? You don't know because nobody knows, okay? If you invested a 1-1 pick as an organization, wouldn't you lavish this guy with every possible tool that you as an organization could provide to make them successful? The Pirates haven't done that.
Well,
this isn't a Henry Davis problem. This is emblematic of the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is why they are never going to succeed. But before I hang up with you, My point is the only way that they can win next year is to spend money. They can't trade their way to success. They have no track record for that.
Well, okay? Again, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the call. He made my point, Nick. He just made my point. I don't know what this was, a long-winded, nonsensical way of talking about Henry Davis and Bubba Chandler. What my point was, they haven't developed Henry Davis. And he basically said, well, you know, this isn't a Henry Davis problem. It's a Pirates problem. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They haven't developed Henry Davis. They picked him 1-1, right? You'd think a guy you picked 1-1 would be the crown jewel of your team. You would develop him properly.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least have some plan or some idea what you're going to do with them right now.
You two agree. It's okay.
My point is, he's like, I'm going to argue. I'm like, what are you arguing with me about? You're not arguing with me.
Oh. No, you guys agreed.
We agreed.
You sound like you're making the same points.
We're making the exact same point. That's my whole point. Henry Davis is a guy who, you know what? When they drafted him, he was drafted number one overall. And, you know, that was 2021. We're 21, 22, 23. This is 4 years later. Do they know what position he plays? Well, they think or hope that maybe he's going to be a catcher, right? But they're not sure. They hope that a guy is who has hit at every single level of baseball that he's ever played, he's hit at, except for the majors. They hope that he's going to be a hitter, but they don't know. They might move him to first. They tried him in right. That's my point.
What if he's a platoon outfielder, Andy Rodriguez plays first, and Joey Bart is your starting catcher?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. And here's the thing. If Joey Bart, if you want to give Ben Cherington really, you know, some props, okay, how about getting Joey Bart, having the foresight to kind of get him off the scrap heap? Didn't really cost you anything to get him. He's turned out. Imagine where this team would be if they didn't get Joey Bart. Think about it. Think about the number of games where his bat, you know, really played well in terms of, you know, leading to a big rally, or, you know, him having a big hit, or him having, you know what I mean?
That's part of the reason why I put a lot of the responsibility on the manager, because it took a while for Bart to get into the lineup on a regular basis.
Right.
If you have the talent there, it's up to the manager to put the talent in the best possible positions.
Right, but I think early on, didn't they still have Henry Davis, the pipe dream that Henry Davis was going to be
Yeah, it was Davis and Grandal, then right. They acquired Bart. Davis right. Got sent down after he struggled, and then it was just Bart and Grandal for a while.
Yeah.
Grandal spent a little time on the injured list, too. So I think that's when Bart got his opportunities.
Well, I look at it from that standpoint, Henry Davis, to me, represents everything that's wrong with the Pirates. Not Henry Davis, he seems like he's a good enough guy and all that, but the fact that you have a dude who's supposed to be one of the crown jewels of your prospects in your system, and you don't even know what to do with him right now. You don't even know where to use him.
Yeah.
You have no idea if he's ever going to be a major league hitter. So, it's just amazing to me that at the end of this year, we're going to have, and here's my prediction. I know what's been reported this weekend, right? But again, if you're going to fire Derek Shelton and not Ben Cherington, and to me, you're just basically finding a scapegoat. I mean, I don't know that Derek Shelton, you know, isn't without blame for some of what goes on, but at the end of the day, he answers to somebody who put the team together, period. And he put together a team where I just don't know that they're good enough, period.
I think the reason why I'm slanted toward giving Shelton more responsibility is because I was at that. You remember the Arizona Diamondbacks game that Sunday they played at home, and they had a 4-1 lead, and they gave up the lead and then eventually lost. It was like the beginning of that 10-game losing streak. There was a decision made there where he put Holderman in. Holderman walked three guys, faced a lefty in Jock Peterson, gave up a home run, finished the inning, and then they put Jalen Beeks in, who was warming up with Aroldis Chapman in the bullpen. Like, that decision just screamed, like, okay, put the lefty in against Peterson.
No, no, listen, he's not without blame.
Well, like, I mean, is it Ben Charrington's fault that, like, he made an effort to bolster the bullpen in that spot? Because, I mean, I don't see that as his responsibility.
I get but at some point, here's the thing.
I see that as Shelton still trying to manage a team of play, manage a team that's on the rebuild. He's not managing to win.
But again, I don't know. I would be willing to bet that some of that is Ben Charrington has, you know, different ideas about how many innings these guys are supposed to pitch, how often they're supposed to pitch. You know, there's a lot of meddling that goes on now from the general managers. And I'm not just talking about Charrington. The way baseball is nowadays, especially every one of these teams that has a general manager who's one of these analytics whiz kids, the manager on the field has a lot less to say about a number of the decisions than you think. So I would just say, again, I'm not absolving Derek Shelton. Okay?
No, I hear you. You're trying to make him a package deal.
I don't think he's the biggest problem. I think the biggest problem is the team that is the guy that put together this team.
I hear what you're saying. We can agree to disagree for now. We got to get to a break, though.
Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. at the 93.7thefan.com contesting pit.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Page. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're going to get to football here. Obviously, the Steelers. Wait, when is this thing now? We have a read or something, don't we? Or we don't?
Yeah, I got you. The great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun is now sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size.
Oh, I see it. Okay. All right. I got too many. This sheet here has got too many reads.
Also, I'll help you out. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Right.
So now you just need to give weather, but you can do that at the end of football.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevy, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com today. High of 90, low of 69, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 87, low of 71. 50% chance of thunderstorms.
We're caught up. Football.
We got some football to talk about, but before we talk about it, Nick, I'm going to ask you this. Who do you like to win the AFC North?
The Baltimore Ravens.
And why?
They've been the most consistent team over the last few years, and I think that they've got the most certainty of any of the other three teams.
Because that's what I'm going to talk about now.
All right.
We're going to break away. We're going to break down the Steelers, obviously, in the 9 o'clock hour. But the AFC North, to me, is probably the most intriguing division. And not because we have the Steelers in it, so therefore we follow it a lot closer than other divisions. I go through all the divisions, okay? I mean, I feel like if you go through all the divisions, the AFC East, I think it's pretty clear the Dolphins and the Bills are, you know, heads and shoulders above the Jets and the Patriots. In fact, I think the Patriots might turn out to be the worst team in the AFC. So you got, you know, a couple of decent teams there. AFC South, I think the Texans are really good. Not sure about the Titans. I think the Colts and the Titans are not very good at all. Jacksonville is intriguing, but you know what? I'm not a huge fan of them either in terms of what I think they can do in that division. In the AFC West, it's the Chiefs. The Broncos, who's their starting quarterback? Bo Nix, right? I think is their starting quarterback.
Yeah, they're gonna have some.
The Raiders with Gardner Minshew, I think, is their starter.
Yeah.
And the Chargers, who, you know,
Jim Harbaugh and his magical nonsense.
I think they'll be a little better than they were last year, but they're not very good either.
Yeah.
You even go to the NFC. I mean, the Giants and Commanders stink. So there's two bad teams in the NFC East. The NFC North, to me, I mean, the Packers and the Lions, I think, are head and shoulders above the other two teams. Is there even a single good team in the NFC South? I mean, the Falcons might actually be the best team in the NFC South, and that's not saying much.
Kirk Cousins.
And then the NFC West, you've got the 49ers and, I don't know, maybe the Rams and the Seahawks will compete for a wild card type thing. Now, point I'm trying to make is if you look at the AFC North, the Ravens, well, put it this way, I could make a strong case for all four teams to win the thing. And a strong case for all four teams to finish fourth in the division. I could make a case that there are at least two teams in the division that are legitimate AFC title contenders and two other teams that, if everything went right, could actually be contenders in the AFC title. So, to me, the AFC North, everybody seems so sure that they know who's going to win it. I think it's going to be a wild ride. Now, as you said, I picked the Ravens to win it as well. I think they've got the most dynamic playmaker in football at quarterback. You can say whatever you want to say about him, but especially in the regular season, he's really good.
He caught his own pass last playoff.
You know what I mean? He's really good.
AFC Championship, yeah.
Their defense will be okay. I don't know if it'll be great like it was, like it has been, but it's the Ravens.
They'll always, the Steelers have Patrick Queen now, so ooh.
They'll always have a good defense or a reasonably, you know, decent defense. They'll run the ball well. They've got a good offensive line. They got Lamar Jackson. I mean, I'll make the case for that, but here's the thing. Lamar Jackson gets hurt. A couple of these new defensive pieces they have don't work out. They could become a 6-11 team real quickly. So you've got the Ravens, who I think might be the best team in the division, but I could also make a reasonable case they could finish last. And even if Lamar Jackson stays healthy, they've got a lot of questions at some of their playmaking positions, and especially on defense, they had to unload a number of guys who had big contracts, like Patrick Queen, and so have they adequately replaced them?
So that's like I talk about the Ravens like the Steelers, like they always find a way to just magically have a shot,
right?
So I never think that they're gonna fail that badly. It's like the Steelers too. I don't think the Steelers are gonna finish with 6 wins, but I feel like even if they don't make the playoffs, they'll be around the middle.
Right. So I feel like that's the thing. Then you've got, but again, they've had seasons where they finished 7-9, and they've had some bad seasons. Whatever. The Bengals obviously probably have the best quarterback in the division.
I'm still curious how he's going to perform after coming off of an injury. That's why I don't give them much favor,
But that's the point.
And look at how they did without him. That's,
if he comes back with a vengeance,
then they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. And you got to believe all of these guys will, all these receivers will fall in line. Jamar Chase, they'll all fall in line now that the season starts and get ready to play. Their defense was horrific last year. They added a number of players to it that you think that would make it better. So I can easily see the Bengals, if Joe Burrow's really, really good again, I could see them being the team to beat in the AFC North. I could also see Joe Burrow is not fully healthy. The defensive additions they made weren't good ones, and the Bengals finished last. Cleveland might have the best roster overall, top to bottom, in the division. And actually, one of the best rosters in football. The problem is they've got the biggest question mark that you can have at the most important position. That's the biggest thing you got with Cleveland. If you're going to tell me that you're going to get Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson, I'm going to tell you that I think the Browns might win the division. If you tell me that you're going to get the Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson, I'm going to tell you that I think the Browns win the division because I think they have the best roster around the quarterback, but they have the biggest question at the most important position. So to me, it's almost 100% about Deshaun Watson. If he's really good, the Browns have a chance to be a playoff team. They have a chance to really do some good things. If he's not very good, they're going to finish last. And that brings me to your Steelers, who we're going to obviously break down a lot more here coming up at the, after the top of the hour. But it's the same thing for them. Are you going to tell me that their offensive line that now is going to have essentially 4 rookies probably starting on it? Broderick Jones obviously is a second-year player, but if he moves to left tackle where he's never played before, he's essentially a rookie. And you've got Troy Fontenot, and you've got Zach Frazier, and you're probably going to have the kid from South Dakota State play guard. Mason McCormick, is that his name? He's probably going to start at guard as long as Siamalo's hurt. So to me, that's a big question. Here's another big question for you. Are you ready? What does Russ have left in the tank?
Enough. I believe enough.
I'm just telling you, he better. He better.
I think it's a better environment for him, too, than Denver was. That can help.
I again have to sort of laugh at times when I hear people talk about Justin Fields as if we haven't watched him for 3 years.
Yeah.
He is what he is at this point.
I think he has agility that could play to some strengths, but I don't think that right now he would make the Steelers pass the first round playoff team.
He's what I call a highlight guy.
Yeah.
You can put together highlight tape where you're like, wow, look how dynamic he is. He does stuff that nobody else can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's not how you really win football games.
He makes mistakes like no one else can either.
You win football games when your quarterback consistently makes plays.
Right.
Not, well, two or three times a game, you know, he runs around and makes seven guys miss and ducks and closes his eyes and throws one up in the air 70 yards down the field and someone catches it. That's not how you win football games. That makes highlight tapes. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, that makes sense.
So to me, I look at the AFC North and I say, I think a lot can happen here. And here's the other thing. I think they could get three of the four teams in the playoffs. Because I don't know that there's many other teams in the AFC that I look at and say, that's definitely a wild card team. You know, the Bills and the Dolphins probably both are going to be in the playoffs. So there's one wild card spot between those two teams. I don't know that there's another wild card team, definitive wild card team in the AFC. Maybe Jacksonville. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. All right, we're going to talk about your Pittsburgh Steelers who get started on Sunday in Atlanta against the Falcons. It's the first of two straight revenge games. This one is the Arthur Smith revenge game, and the next week will be the Russell Wilson revenge game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.